Hi, this is Josh Fonger, and welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help business owners move from owning a job to owning a business, mastering their systems so they can simplify growth. And today I've got a special guest, Dominic Quartusio. Dominic is an international speaker, author of Design Your Future, and founder of DoInnerWork.com. He is also the co-host of the Man Amongst Men podcast, a podcast covering performance, sex, and creating a life of adventure for high-achieving men. Dominic draws upon his 15 years as an executive in financial services, running a $1.4 billion sales organization for Prudential Financial, a Fortune 100 company. His work has been featured in the New York Times, NPR, and the TEDx stage. And all right, Dominic, I'm really excited to dive into all of your knowledge on performance, but let's start from the beginning. Let's figure out, how did you get into this line of work?
Awesome, Josh. Thanks for having me on. And like I said before, man, I got book envy. I'm a huge reader, and we can maybe swap book stories, but your bookshelf in the back, it's almost second to none.
I'm sure more. My business partner, Sam Carpenter, when I first met him, sorry to get off track here, he's got an entire room, wall, floor to ceiling, all books. It is like, it's crazy. It's like a library in his house, like thousands and thousands of books. So this is not even close.
Yeah. It's like, well, James Swanwick, one of your recent guests, his buddy is Ty Lopez, and he made a whole career of featuring his bookshelf. So anyway, man, so to answer your question, the quick and dirty on my story is I kind of followed a path that was set out before me. I didn't really question it. It was get into the working world, go to financial services, make as much money as you can, and rise up the ranks, build a sturdy future for yourself, get experience, and then build a family for yourself when the time comes, you know, these kinds of things. So because that was the path that was admired and laid out in front of me. And so I did it, and things worked well. When I turned 30 years old, so I'm 40 years old now, this was 10 years ago, I had by far the most successful sales year of my life. So I was a salesperson for Prudential Financial. Mm-hmm. I tripled my sales goal that year. And I made the kind of living that I never really thought that I would get, at least not that early in my life. I was the youngest salesperson by over a decade doing what I was doing. And that year I was number one. And so a lot of these things that I had set out as these Mount Everest goals, I achieved much sooner than I thought I would. And while I was proud of myself, it was also one of those moments of, is this it? Like this feels good, but it doesn't feel quite like I expected it to. And you know, you've heard this story a million times before, but I think the thing that I started questioning was, if this is as good as it gets and I have another 30 or 35 years of doing this, it scared the shit out of me, man. Like I was like, I don't know where else I could take this. And so it just kind of cracked open this new line of questioning. And where it ultimately ended up leading me to after I did a bunch of inner work and personal development, I ended up leaving the corporate world behind 3 years ago to start my own practice as an international speaker, as an author, as a coach to high performers. And that's really what we're planning on getting into in the discussion today.
Okay. Wow. Very good. So what has that transition been like from being an employee to being an entrepreneur? I'm kind of curious as to what was that jumping off point? Was that scary? And how did you actually make that happen? Because a lot of people who are listening have just made that jump off point or they're planning it. So what did you do?
Nice. That's one of the biggest things that people said to me was like, you're so courageous. It's so, you know, like the fact that you left this behind, so much courage. And actually, by the time that I chose to walk away, it did not feel like courage anymore. And here's why. I mean, especially if your audience, there's some people in your audience who are thinking about making the leap. What I needed to do for myself, Josh, was I needed to give myself enough runway to leave when I felt confident. In February of 2014, I made the decision that I was going to leave in 2 years. And for some people, that's like an eternity. For me, it was like, oh, that's the perfect amount of runway for me to feel excited, but also like work out all of the fears I had, maybe about financial security, maybe about like having the discipline to be an entrepreneur, to call my own shots, because I'd been taking orders for 13 years for the most part. I had a little bit of something else as a salesperson that you chart your own course, but I needed a certain amount of runway to feel confident that it was time to go. I've seen way too many people pull the parachute when it's like they can't take it anymore and they just need to get the hell out. And then like they leave in a place of anger and frustration and fear. And then they find themselves in this new place where there's a whole new host of fears and insecurities. And then they build a business around that. And that's no good. And that just kind of kicks off the same kind of existence where they go back and it's embarrassing for all these reasons. So for me, the things that I had to put in place, number one, I drew upon 6 years of experience working with Strategic Coach, which is primarily built for entrepreneurs, but my company sponsored me for that. We can get into that. I also took a number of online courses to teach me how to build my business out, and I hired a coach that I worked with for about 3 years, 1 year prior to leaving, and then the 2 years after I left, to provide some structure and security. So listen, dude, I had a SWAT team of resources to make sure that I wasn't going to fail.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't think I've ever heard someone have a more thorough game plan about leaving, you know, join from employee to owner. It's like you had your eyes wide open and you're very realistic, like, this is going to be hard. There's things I don't know that are going to happen. Let me just surround myself with people who can actually explain this to me. That's pretty amazing. I've never heard that before. So that's cool. So you joined Strategic Coach, and I've got a lot of clients who in that program or bought that program after working with me, or vice versa, the other way around, and heard some things. But let me hear your experience. So, and those of you who don't know, it's a great program. Dan Sullivan leads it, got a great team. What did you learn? What were the big takeaways? I mean, 6 years, you must be an expert.
Yeah. So I remember the first day I showed up, and these were very successful people. You go in based on like a certain income level, and they have, so you're amongst your peers. And so I was sitting around people like who had no cap on their earnings. Like some people were making millions and millions, some maybe tens of millions a year. And the first question that was asked by our mentor, so I didn't have Dan Sullivan as my mentor. The person who ran our program, his name was Lee Brower. If you've ever heard of the book, The Secret, Lee Brower is one of the people featured in The Secret. He's one of the most financially successful people. And he's been an amazing mentor. He asked the question in the audience, what are your hobbies? And he went around the room and talked to everybody in the room. And 75% of the people in there, primarily men, did not have an answer for that question. Didn't have an answer for it because their business was all consuming. And then he would ask the question, when was the last time you took a free day? Free day defined as you actually took a day, one day off where you spent nothing, where you did nothing related to your business. You didn't read an industry periodical. You didn't answer an email. And again, like, I would say 80 to 90% of that room could not identify a day in recent memory where they had a free day. And you could see like the success was palpable in the room, but you could also see the bags under their eyes. You could also feel the sphincters clenched, just like this like constant state of tension and anxiety and just people walking around like that. And it made me question like, okay, why are people doing this? You know, like presumably I was one of the only corporate people in there. And I was far less stressed out than the people that were in there running their own businesses and calling their own shots. And I'm like, is this what entrepreneurship is like? And it seemed like a lot of them when sitting around, you know, the coffee tables, like there was almost this one-upsmanship around who could be more stressed out and miserable in their life because it somehow is this badge of honor around how committed to the business they are. And what was amazing about Strategic Coach was they struck this beautiful chord between you came here because you want to double your income or double the size of your business, or actually what they introduced later on was 10xing your business. So 10xing your business is easier than 2xing your business. And there's a whole mindset shift around that. And they're like, we're committed to helping you get that. And I saw them do that with people over the course of the 6 years I was there. But also, if you're not prioritizing like your well-being and free time, then you're doing this for the wrong reasons. Then you're the one where the joke's being played on. And what I was able to see over the course of a couple of years, it only took like two years or so of people kind of going to this program, where I saw people legitimately doubling their income and legitimately taking like 75 to 80 free days a year. Some people like all the way up to a half of the year was just spent vacationing and taking time with their family and building systems like you like to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the power in prioritizing your business performance while also prioritizing your well-being and your joy. And that was a big foundation for how I decided to leave corporate and start my own life.
Wow. Well, that's inspiring. Any secrets? So like tactical secrets, or entrepreneur listening to this, I say, okay, well, I'm in that boat, and most people are. They're working too much, and our philosophy is work less, make more. So, what are some tactical secrets that you learned that our audience could say, hey, you know what, if I take this technique that actually does work, is it about putting your personal life first and then business, or is it more nuanced than that?
All right, I'll give you one tactical, like it was probably one of the most foundational tactical things that they taught early on. And then I'll give you like the big mindset shift. So the tactical one was blocking your time, learning how to take command back of your time. Tim Ferriss talks all about this. If you ever read the 4-Hour Work Week, where, you know, he's basically like phone calls, emails, meetings, other people's claims on your time. When I work with high performers as an executive coach and I go in and look at people's calendars, typically 80% of what's on their calendar was not put there by themselves. It was what other people had put there. So people need you as the decision maker. They need you to respond to their emails. They need you to respond to their fire drills. And that only leaves you 20% of your time to get the most strategic, important things done. And in order to do that, like, you're probably sacrificing a lot of your own personal time and peace of mind. So they teach you these three different periods of time that you need to chunk your time into these three categories. And I talk about it in this way. Number one is the success time. They call it focus time. So in the entrepreneurial time system, number one is focus time. Focus time is revenue generating activities and anything that's strategic. And you go on your calendar and you block large chunks of this time where you are uninterrupted. So Monday morning, I always block off like 2 to 3 hours of this kind of time where I'm just making sales calls, or I'm just planning out something super strategic for my business that's going to help me to 10x it. And I don't allow emails. I don't allow phone calls. It's like my sacred time. And most entrepreneurs don't ever have that, like that big chunk of time where you can just get deep into that work. Cal Newport talks about deep work. You need to have that kind of focus. Buffer time is the second chunk of time. Buffer time is basically anything administrative. So you get your emails done, you get the nuts and bolts of your mechanics, you get logistics, you get expense reports, accounting, these kinds of things that are required a part of your functioning business. But if you can batch it that way, and also I like to use buffer time as little slots in between meetings. So, you know, if you're one of those people who has like 17 meetings stacked up on top of each other, what I like to do is anytime there's two meetings, I insert 10-minute buffer time. So it allows me to like figure out what the key takeaways were from where we just were, and then like clear the space so I can get clear for what the next meeting is. So I'm constantly in this like present state. And the final period of time is this free time that we just spoke about. Free time, as defined by Strategic Coach, is time that's exclusively non-work related. You're not answering any emails, you're shutting off all notifications, you're leaving your cell phone aside, and you're doing purely what restores you, what gives you joy, whether that's gardening, whether that's watching football or spending time with your family, anything that fills up your tank. Because the argument there, it's not even an argument, it's like a proven fact. It's when you have time away from the weeds, then you have an opportunity to allow some space for like bigger ideas to come in, for clarity to come in, for stress to dissolve. You're no longer like making decisions from anxiety, but you're doing it from a place of peace. That's where the biggest gains come from. And it sounds so counterintuitive. And a lot of the people in the group had to be forced into free days. But once they were and they did it regularly, their businesses mushroomed.
Wow. I couldn't agree more. That's great. And so as a new entrepreneur, you gave yourself plenty of runway. Were you able to actually put these different time zones into place as you were building out your business?
1,000%. So in the first 90 days of, one of the things I did when I left corporate is I took a 90-day radical sabbatical. And so that was literally 90 days of free time. I've never had that before in my life. But the person who gave me that piece of advice was the treasurer of eBay. And he'd given it to me when I met him at a men's retreat. He was on the 11th month of a 12-month sabbatical. And he looked so calm and peaceful. And he was saying to me, listen, my life was all consumed by business. I had an $80,000 a month travel budget for eBay to scoop up and, you know, look at buying all of these, you know, small technology companies. But I was starting to go kind of insane. And so I needed to negotiate a sabbatical. On his 11th month, I met him and he was like, take this, it'll change your life. So I did that. And in those 90 days, I went and traveled the world, Hawaii, Bali, Thailand, New Zealand, Australia. I got so recharged, even though I was excited to start my own life as an entrepreneur, it just brought in this whole new level of energy and power and conviction. And when I came back, my first 90 days, I scheduled so much of this focus time, like the revenue generating time, where all I was doing was reaching out and making connections so that I could let people be aware of this new coaching business I was doing. And in the first 90 days, I had like 110 sales conversations, which resulted in, you know, a six-figure sales quarter the next quarter. So like in my second quarter of being in business in the coaching arena, I was able to put up a six-figure quarter, which for some of your entrepreneurs may not maybe pittance given if they're doing, you know, product generation. But if you're a coach doing one-on-one coaching, that's big dollars. And that was all as a result of the system that I put in place of making the sales calls, but more importantly, or just as importantly, having the time set aside to do that on a regular basis.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great kickoff. I think anyone would be excited about that, especially with the margin in coaching is essentially 99%.
So, Correct.
It's a very good quarter. Well, awesome. Well, let's change gears a little bit to talking about burnout. I mean, I know you have keynote speaker and you've got a lot of topics to speak on. And when I was doing research, you know, one of the topics had to do with high performers and burnout and hitting ceilings and hitting these kind of complexity plateaus. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how to break through those plateaus.
I mean, this is the same exact reason, Josh, why you're in business and why you're speaking about, like, you know, less work and getting more done at the same time. It's because more is being asked of people every single year than the year before. So one of the questions when I ask when I'm going on stage, I do a lot of keynote speaking for Fortune 500 companies. I've, you know, do a lot of financial services and white collar businesses. It's taken me around the world. And I ask the same question everywhere. How many of you will have less asked of you this year than you did the year before, right? And I ask that at home, at work, demands on your time, are those going down? Are demands on your energy going down? Are demands on your focus going down? Everyone laughs at me when I ask that. The only two people who have ever raised their hand and said, yeah, actually, it's going down, I've asked them to enlighten me, and they said, I'm retiring this year.
Right?
And so the bottom line is, man, like, our lives are rich and vibrant. We're taking on more. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're in the business because, like, you love it. And you're naturally going to be like, you're naturally connected to life, and it's just going to grow. But the problem with that is when I talk to people behind the scenes, and they really let me in on what's going on in their lives, they're stressing out. There's a little bit of a chaos in their lives, or sometimes dramatic chaos in their lives, because we don't necessarily know how to navigate all of these new demands on our time and our energy and our focus. And people are not necessarily even present to the idea that this is not just your reality last year over this year. This is your reality for the rest of your damn life. More is being like, last year's record year is this year's baseline. And what you're being asked to do 3 years from now is going to be exponential from what you're being asked to do this year. And yet we're not training differently. And so what I love to talk to people about is, what got you here will not get you there. That's not my line. Obviously, it's Goldsmith's line. And you need better systems in order to navigate these new demands. And most people aren't looking at their time management habits, their mindset habits. They're not looking at prioritizing their relationships or joy in their life, or even refilling their tank. And that's why they may be performing business-wise, but everything else is kind of collapsing behind the scenes. It's not a long-term strategy for building a business and a life that you love. So that's what I love talking about.
So how do you, what are some of those habits? Like, what are some of those habits, both that maybe in personal life or business, that you think entrepreneurs really need to grab hold of and maybe they're just not seeing?
I mean, one of the simplest ones is how you start your day, how you finish your day. And I'm constantly amazed by how few people have a conscious strategy, an intentional strategy for the first hour and the last hour of their day. Most people's mornings is their cell phone wakes them up, because their cell phone is their alarm clock. They dive right into their cell phone, and it's basically a fire hose right from there for the 17, 18, 19, 20 waking hours before you collapse into your bed where you're scrolling on your cell phone again, and then you pass out, you go to sleep, and you do it all over again the next day. Now, people can be successful in that way. There's no doubt. Like, I guarantee you some of your listeners live that life, and they're on paper successful, and their businesses maybe are thriving in that way. But oftentimes it's coming at the grave expense of something else: peace of mind, security, a bigger business, a better idea, relationships. So the thing that I, you know, one of the easiest things to do to live a much more intentional life is to design the first hour and the last hour of your day. Because the bookends of your day determine the 16, 17, 18 waking hours of productivity, of power, of peace of mind in between. you know, the way that I wake up in the morning, it's kind of simple. Like, you know, I go and chug a half a liter of lemon water. I make some bulletproof coffee. I do some meditation to get my mind right and some breath work. I love to just, I'm not sure if like your audience is into this kind of stuff, but like it helps me. I have a super hyperactive mind. And if I don't temper it, if I don't harness those wild horses that are kind of going everywhere, which can be my greatest power, but can also be my greatest liability, meditation helps me to bring those horses into like lockstep, like Clydesdales, and helps me to set my intention for what are the three most important things that I need to do before noon today. And by getting those things done, every day is a win. I have that meditation. I usually will read 10 to 15 minutes of spiritual or like performance or productivity text to feed my brain. And then I get in the shower, clean up, take a cold shower at the end of it to wake me up. There's a whole host of physical benefits, get your brain stimulated. It releases some endorphins that allow you to be happier. And in my first hour of the day, I'm ready to rock. And that ritual changes if I'm going on a stage in front of hundreds of people. That ritual changes if I'm traveling, but they're all fairly similar. It's just I have a conscious routine every single day based on what the day demands of me. And that way, my days never bleed into one another where it feels like I'm just on this hamster wheel.
Oh, I love that's a great system. And most people don't have it that dialed in. That's really good. Well, I'm curious just because I speak on stage sometimes. So what is your, that's a little secret for me. What is your secret for having a good stage performance? Like, do you have a little routine that you do for that?
Yeah, man, I got a lot of those. So something that really interesting happened to me the other day. I was asked to speak at a matchmakers conference. This is not my normal line of business. So matchmakers, people who professionally put people together. There's 100 people in the audience. They wanted me to speak because they're looking for more male clients. And my audience is a lot of high performing male clients. And they want to know how to speak the language, right? So I developed this 30-minute presentation for them. Brand new content. I've never presented before anywhere. Put all the slides together. And I send it to them. And you know, the slides are typically like useful for you knowing where you are in your stream of thinking. And so I walk up on stage, there's 100 people staring at me and it's my time to go. And they look at me and they go, did you send us your slides? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course, when? I'm like, when you asked for them during the deadline 7 days ago, they can't find them. So now there's like 100 people, 200 eyeballs looking at me and they're kind of digging through their email. They can't find it. I'm like, this is going to get out of control. I'm going to lose the audience if I don't start. And so I was like, you know what? We're just going to get into this and we're going to see, you know, how this thing goes with brand new information and, you know, and relying solely on memory. And I had not rehearsed this presentation before either. I went up there and Josh, like, if I'm going to be arrogant for a second here, I kind of killed it. And here's why. Here's the technique that like, here's two tips that I just shared with my audience about why. Number one, no matter what presentation I'm doing, I always have a script for the first 2 minutes. And I know exactly what I'm going to say for the first 2 minutes, because if I can nail the first 2 minutes, then the audience knows why they're there. They know why they need to invest the next 28 minutes or next 58 minutes or whatever it is, 88 minutes in listening to me. And I can establish a rapport, but it also helps me to get into my own rhythm. So I feel confident so that now I can like, you know, be a little bit more spontaneous on stage and find my footing. Because usually I find that like when I step on stage and I'm like all of these inputs and there's so much information, sometimes I can go blank if I'm trying to figure out what to say when I'm in that spot. Having my first 2 minutes dialed in and practiced, that I do have practiced and rehearsed, leads to like a great experience for the audience. And also for me to be confident on stage when I'm talking.
Wow.
I'll give you one more, man. Okay. I'll give you one more that was super helpful for you or for me and a lot of others who do speaking find this to help calm their nerves. A lot of people can get into their own heads before they step up on stage. Am I going to say this perfectly? How am I going to look? Oh my God, I've forgotten this thing or how to, whatever. And when that happens, it's always about me, 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 me. And so the practice, and I fell into that trap many times. I still get jacked up no matter how many times I step in front of an audience. For me to get out in front of that, now for the first like 10 minutes or for 10 minutes before I go up on stage, I'll sit in the back of the room and I'll look at everybody in the audience and I'll dial into a handful of people and I'll like wonder what that person's name is. So I'll look at you, Josh. I won't know you. And I'll be like, huh, let's say that guy's name is Robert. Robert looks like he might have a young family. You know, I wonder what's going on in Robert's mind. So, you know, he's got a wedding ring on. I wonder what problems he has. I wonder what dreams he has. I wonder what challenges and these kinds of things. And once I do that with like three or four people in the audience, I'm now so connected with service. I'm so connected with like, I'm here to help you. I'm completely out of my own BS. And when I step on stage, I'm speaking to you, not being worried about what's going on inside of my head or how I look.
No, I love it. Similar for me is I try to shake hands with at least five people before I go on stage and actually introduce myself, find out kind of why they're there and what they're interested in. So then when I'm on stage, I can just out of the blue just pick out people and say, you know, just like this guy's here for this reason, you know, that kind of makes the connection totally. as a frame for me. So let's keep moving on, because I know that a big part of your work, and I don't want to exclude half our audience, but it's just with men. You've got a podcast about men, you've got retreats about men, but are there some things, and maybe the women can learn from this as well, but are there some things specific to high-performing men that they face that maybe isn't being addressed in other parts or other media?
Totally. I mean, this is a really exciting time for men. And I say that intentionally because I think a lot of people believe that this is a difficult time for men. This is a challenging or confusing time. And, you know, we hear a lot more about men's failings, about men not being good enough, men not doing well enough. And in many respects, like, we can always step up. And there's times like right now that we can. And I know a lot of really great men working really hard who deserve a lot more credit than they're receiving. And a lot of guys want to be doing better. They just don't know where to turn without the fear of being pulverized for saying the wrong thing or, you know, fumbling around. And so one thing that I want men to know, and this is something I talk about in my TEDx talk, which is called The Bold Journey That Women Want Men to Take. And Josh, this is absolutely relevant for women too, because I was asked to speak at a women's conference about the work that I'm doing at men for men. And it was at TEDx Wilmington Women. And I draw upon this insight from a brilliant author and therapist. Her name is Esther Perel. And she had said, Esther Perel's written amazing books like Mating in Captivity and The State of Affairs, great relationship author. She had this insight that said, masculinity does not seem to be this thing that men are just given. They have to go out and earn it. And that made me think, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's actually kind of true. Like, as a man, I've had to go out and earn my manhood time and time again. And so it works a lot like how trust works. You can spend your entire life building trust, but you can lose it in an instant because trust is fragile like that. And as it turns out, so is masculinity. Think about these regular moments of reckoning that men face on a regular basis. Be a man, suck it up, don't be a fill in the blank, right? Those are regular moments of reckoning that determine whether or not a man gets to keep his manhood. I mean, I know guys who can temporarily lose their masculinity in front of their group of friends if they don't finish their beer. So what ends up happening is over the course of our lives, we don't really think too much about this, but we're constantly defending ourselves, jockeying for position with other guys to save face, to be perceived of as a man. In the context of entrepreneurship, it's like, you know, what is your run rate? What is your earnings? What is your, you know, what are your growth projections? You know, like any of these kinds of questions that if you're around, say, other entrepreneurs, you may feel like less than a man if you're not performing at their standards or what they believe to be. And that cuts at the core of your identity. And there's a deep-rooted fear that even if we've layered on years or decades of armor on top of that and learning how to defend it, it still influences our behavior. And so the work that I do with men is, especially once they've reached these levels of success, like the guys who come to me are publicly decorated and privately confused. You know, like there are men in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who have had successful exits, or they've had, you know, million-dollar years. They have the family and the life that they dreamed of. And they're kind of like, why doesn't this feel better? Why doesn't it feel, I thought all of these things were going to give me that feeling that I've been searching. And it's like, yeah, congratulations on these things that you got. And there's a lot of inner work stuff. Now you want to take that journey inside to align all these brilliant successes of the outer life on what's going on inside. And that's the biggest part of my passion that we're talking about on the Man Amongst Men podcast and on the TEDx stages.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of a great segue to kind of as we wrap up this podcast is, so people who do want to do this inner work that you do, or they want to go to one of your retreats or find out more, where do they go? Where do they find out this information?
Right on. So there's a website called doinnerwork.com. It's the home for the Man Amongst Men podcast. It's the home for any retreats that I plan on running in the near future. Right now, I'm curating these private retreats. I'll usually have one man reach out to me and we'll put a group of like five men together. We have one happening in May. We're going to the Rocky Mountains, rented a mansion with private chef, and we have a fire pit, and we have, you know, hot tubs. And we're going to be doing deep work in the Rockies, doing some hiking, but also I'm going to be pushing men to their limits in a number of different areas. I have privately curated retreats that you can reach out about if you want one for like you and a group of men. Then I'll also be launching more available to the public ones that are probably going to be larger in size and 2 to 3 day adventure experiences where you get a chance to go in. And the intention for all of these is really to design the next decade of your life. So the book that you and I were talking about before that I wrote is called Design Your Future, 3 Steps to Stop Drifting and to Start Living. And what I'm going to be doing on these men's retreats is helping men to design a next decade of their life that, if it were the most abundant, adventurous, exciting, financially rewarding, like your business kicking ass, intimate life on all cylinders, if that's going to be the next decade of your life, what would it look like? Let's get really clear about that. Who's a part of that? What new skill sets would you need to acquire? And we're going to crack some shit open on that weekend to make sure that we're laying the track so that that can happen.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Maybe I'll have to come. Well, because of time and because I've got to run, I know you got to run too. What's kind of the final thing or one last nugget you want to leave the audience with these entrepreneurs that, you know, has really helped you and I know will help them? And then we'll kind of wrap up. So what would that be?
Yeah. If you do not prioritize your joy, your excitement, your purpose in life alongside the success of your business, then it will not happen accidentally. And there is an absolute correlation between like you were saying this to me before, Josh, like a lot of your listeners and clients are people who just want to like blow out their businesses and sell it. Like 100% the path to doing that is aligning the most important things in your life, not sacrificing it. And so if you can get onto that trajectory right now by prioritizing your business and your health and your well-being and your relationships and whatever is important to you, then that's where the juice is.
I love it. I love the concept of alignment. I talk about it a lot. It's just getting everything aligned and there's no waste and hyper efficient at the same time. Well, Dominic, I really appreciate you sharing all the expertise and just a number of areas. I hope you get a lot. I got a lot out of this. A lot of notes about how to be more productive in your personal life, in your business. And I like this idea of bookends. I'm definitely going to be using this idea of bookends in your life, how important that is. And thanks everybody for tuning in today to the Work the System podcast. I look forward to sharing another podcast with you next week, helping you grow your systems and your business so you can make more and work less. Thanks everybody.